Some of it may be familiar to you, at least familiar with what I've shared. Sometimes, I've said this before, I'm guilty of this. You know, I've said Jesus, prophet, is not without honor except in his own country. Sometimes you can become so familiar with your surroundings and your settings that over time you think, you know, the Lord couldn't possibly move here because I'm so familiar with it. And always guard against that. I try to do that in my own life. And some excellent things. What you shared this morning was beautiful. Someone getting saved is beautiful. So the stuff that you've been sharing about, right? Everyone who shared stuff, Michael, the Warm Center, the Lord's doing some excellent things. Amen. He is. And just press into that and continue in that. I want to share something this morning. I was listening to a word. Do you ever have a minister who just speaks to you? Like I have a handful, and they just, something about, I don't know, they just speak to me in ways other people don't. And there's a man in Oklahoma, Tony Miller. I've been familiar with him for over 10 years, and this is a man who just stirs me in a way that very few do. And he was sharing a couple weeks ago and stirred me. And I'm going to use some of the stuff he said, some of it I make it my own, but just something the Lord's put on my heart that I feel like it's some of it's for us, and some of it may seem a bit repetitive, but it's the Lord. Amen. I'm going to share some stuff. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 10, and we're continuing with Acts chapter 10 and verse 27. I'm not going to read all of it, but Acts chapter 10, and if you remember, I've spoken on Acts chapter 9. Remember the Damascus Road? When Saul became Paul, and he was radically changed. And we spoke a few weeks ago about redigging your wells and choices and things like that. And thank you for receiving Pastor Dan last week, too. He was honored to be here. He's the most well-received guest minister I have. He's really good. So I thank you guys for welcoming him so much. But I want to read something in Acts chapter 10, and I want to talk about ministry. And I want to look at Peter's ministry and what he did here. And how it relates to our lives. Because all of us are ministers. I'll give you a good verse for that in just a minute. But it says in Galatians 2:8, Paul was writing to the Galatians, and he said that he who worked effectively for the apostleship to the circumcised worked the same way for me to the uncircumcised. In other words, Peter's primary calling was to Jews, and Paul's is primarily the Gentiles. Yet God uses Peter in a mighty way to open up the door to the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of passages, just a couple of verses. I don't want to take too long on it. But this is in verse 27. And if you remember, Peter was there, and the Lord came and visited him in a vision. And he told God, I will not do that. Have you ever told God, I won't do something? I have. I've wrestled with him at times. Jim has. But he's the man mightily using. He said, I will not do that. And so the Lord kept coming. But it says in verse 28, he says, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. The Jews, let me say this. The book of Acts is not the perfect church. It's a historical account of the beginning of the church. Amen. If it was up to these guys, you and me wouldn't be in the kingdom of God today. That's the truth. Because the Jerusalem church, I'm getting ready to switch from the Jerusalem to the Antioch church. There was Jerusalem church. They were ingrown. It was just the Jews, the Judaizers. Peter was like that. The Jewish philosophy in that day was, if a Gentile woman is struggling giving birth, we don't give her help. We're going to bring another Gentile into the world. Okay? They were hardcore, man. And God broke into the scene, used a guy like that, and he reached and ministered to them. And so Cornelius was speaking, and somehow it was 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and the man stood before him and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Just a quick point, this isn't my message, but his prayers were heard, and also I was talking something to Jim this morning, his alms, his givings were also heard. Amen. Sometimes we put our money where our faith in our mouth is, amen? And you were sharing something, I think the man of God was writing the book, and he would write something he was sowing into, I'm probably going to butcher it, but something he was sowing into and believing God for, he would write down a memo of the check and put it in there. So it was actually, his prayers were heard, but actually his giving was too. Remember the Lord pairs prayer and giving together? And so he says, and then Peter goes on and shares the gospel in 34. Verse 34 says, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." And he goes on, he shares the gospel. The Spirit of God came upon them. They were speaking in other tongues. And the Lord used them mightily. I want to speak about Peter's ministry. I want to speak about what ministry is and kind of how it relates to us this morning. All of us, Captain Obvious here, are called to make an impact, right? So if I'm salt and light, I've said this before, salt affects everything it's in, but it's not affected by anything, right? So no one says, that's beefy salt, Clay. They say, no, that's salt. That beef is salty. Why? Because the salt, who we are, is called to affect everything and every pillar and every area that we go into, right? Amen?
Amen.
Light. I've given this example. The lights are turned off. I turn them on. There's no fighting and resistance. The light shines and it's clear, right? That's who we are as believers. Amen? Salt and light. So I'm called to make an impact. Now let me share something with you. And I'm not speaking of anyone in here when I say this, just a generality. Have you ever heard, anyone familiar with Joseph Garlington? Okay, he's a pastor down in the Pittsburgh area, and he said sometimes at our worship services, he was being funny, he said sometimes they're lying services. And what it does, sometimes singing worship and declaring the goodness of God like we did this morning, like when you don't feel like it, it's arising faith with us, and we're speaking who God really is despite who we feel like we are. And sometimes we sing songs, "I Surrender All," which is a good one. "Lord, I give all of you to me." I've had a moment before. I'll use my own self to make it better. When we were at Pinecrest Youth Week, and I was up there, "God, I give everything you," blah, blah, blah. And then the Lord starts to use me, and I say, "Lord, I actually don't want you to use me that way." Has anyone had that happen? "Lord, use me." And then when someone uses me, and no one here has done this, I'm not saying it. All that church wants to do is just use me. For all those people want to do is just use me. And we just sang, "God, use me." Let me give you something that's good and that's helpful. Sometimes big doors swing on little hinges. What do I mean? Sometimes there can be a little thing that we're obedient in, and we think it's pointless, but it can open up a big door that God has for us. Look at David. If you look at David, before he went in and slew Goliath, how did he get to that place to see what was going on there? If you're reading Samuel, he was delivering cheese. I think it's in 1 Samuel 16. And they said, Jesse, his father, said, "Take it to your other brothers. There's 10 pieces of cheese and some other things." Now, make it to our terms. Cheese, I'm too good for that. Me, carry cheese, I've been called to be a king. Amen? I'm too good for that. I'm not going to carry the cheese because I'm called to be a king and I'm waiting to be a king. Big doors, little hinges. Goliath, cheese. How did he get to that point? He carried cheese. Think about that for a minute. Big doors can swing on little hinges. And so I'm going to talk about ministry some more in a minute, but let me say this. Ephesians 4:11. I spoke about this last week. Fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. Just a quick recap. Again, the apostle usually is foundational. They go in and they set order. It touches all four. Usually apostle has a grace like that on everyone. It has a prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching grace on their life. The prophet speaks the word of the Lord, points. The evangelist, the middle finger, has the longest outreach. Pastor, it's a ring finger, it's married to the church, and the teacher, pinky, small enough to get into your ear. But the Lord, and Paul was writing, he says in Ephesians 4:11, these were given, let me just read it real quick to you, and I'm going somewhere, I promise you. Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." Okay? So what's the fivefold role. It's for the works of the ministry, which means that everyone in the body of Christ does ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Whether it's carrying cheese or whatever, so everyone in the body of Christ does ministry. What is, I'm moving through this fast, I'm not going to be long this morning. What is ministry? The word is diakonos. It's the same word as service. Ministry is service. One thing I heard, and Tony Miller said this, and it was good. I've never heard this definition before, but he said that ministry is anything we do to make another person's life better. Okay? Whether that's salvation for them there. But do you know what sometimes what ministry is? Sometimes, I'll use the example, my sisters-in-laws weren't here. We're here this weekend. Yesterday, I was ministered to, whether they know it or not, because yesterday morning, for the first time, and I can't remember, maybe since I was on vacation, I got to lay down in bed on Saturday morning, and I got to watch football highlights. I didn't need a word from God for that. That was ministering to me. So sometimes, ministry, I don't necessarily have to lay hands and pray on them. It might just be cooking them a meal. Amen? It's ministry. Sometimes it might be my neighbor has been in the hospital with a family member all week, and I need to go mow her grass. Amen?
Amen.
Let me share something. There's a, I just said football, so there's a, sound really dorky saying this. There's a, I'm a big follower of Carolina football, Tar Heels, okay? My parents went there, and my old man was on the team, but I just always followed them. And they had an offensive coordinator, John Shoup, some time ago. And I remember reading up about the offensive coordinator. And he went to seminary, and he was going to be in the ministry, professional ministry, this. But he said, I can reach more young men being a coach than I can behind a pulpit. Yes, you can. Amen. I envy that. Okay? Tony Miller was sharing, he spoke this word. He said, there's a guy that travels with me. He said he's got the 8th largest roofing company in the country. In the country. It means he has a lot of responsibility, makes a lot of money. And the guy travels with him. He has a servant's heart. And he was talking. He said, Tony, I don't know what to do. Should I quit my job and go to Bible school? Should I be in the ministry? And he said, I looked at him and I said, you know, you have hundreds of people working for you. The average church in America is 78 people. Did you know that? John Wimber said, God must like small churches because he has a lot of them. Amen. It's true. He said, the average church in this country is 78 people. You have hundreds of people under you. You're pastoring more people than most pastors are. If you shift your mind, I'm in ministry. Service, right? Do you get that? So the guy who's overseeing hundreds of people, I'm in ministry. Can I say something else to you? When we're off. One of the things I've learned since I've become a pastor is this. I'm on this Facebook group. It's Southern New England Pastors. And one time, sometimes guys will write stuff. And one thing someone wrote one time is, name the reactions you get when you tell people you're a pastor. And it's funny. Most people, I remember talking to a young guy before who needed Jesus, and we were having a good talk. We were just chewing the fat back and forth in a normal way. And he said, why'd you come to Connecticut? I said, I'm a pastor. And immediately, oh, conversation over. Why do I say that to you? I don't like telling people I'm a pastor because I envy you guys. That can be a conversation killer with a lot of people. What does that mean? It doesn't have to be. The goal of ministry is not to get a paycheck from it. It's to find your place and stand there in it. Amen?
Amen.
If it was being a coach, sometimes I wish I could go and be a coach. Find that and say, you know what? I'm not getting paid behind a pulpit, but it doesn't really matter. Like, I get some money to be behind a pulpit, and I envy some of you guys, the pulpits and the platforms God gives you. Because I can talk to the young guy and tell him I'm faster, and he doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. I start telling him I work for Corridor. Am I making sense to you this morning?
Yes.
You have a tremendous privilege. So my job as the pastor is to say this. So we have a body of believers in here. So my calling here is in the church. equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You know the word equip in Ephesians 4:11? It's the same word that used. Remember when Peter and John were out with their nets and mend their nets? It's the same word in the Greek. To mend their nets, to put them back together. What was their net? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What did it do? Caught the fish. It was the gift that they had that God had given them. Amen. My job is to encourage you and spur you to find your place and what's your ministry, where are you called to, what are you doing, how are you doing it, whether it's behind a pulpit or whether it's shoveling snow for the guy or talking to the guy out in the street and telling, hey, I do this, and leading the man to a life of holiness. Amen? Amen? That's ministry. It's what all of us do. It's what all of us are called to. Amen?
Amen.
Let me go on. There's a passage, and don't turn there, but listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And Paul's writing. These are kind of like the make your eyes glaze over verses, like when I just read through them. But he says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Another translation says they were addicted to ministry. Let me say this. Nowhere in the New Testament is ever implied that they ever preached, led a service, laid hands on anyone. Yet Paul commended them, and he says, therefore acknowledge such men. Did you catch that? These men, Paul acknowledged, the Holy Spirit wrote it for all of us to see. They were devoted themselves to ministry, yet we don't see where they led a church. We don't see that they were one of the elders. They weren't one of the apostles. Yet they devoted themselves to ministry. If we devote ourselves to ministry, whether I'm doing this or whether I'm doing that, I'm telling you from my heart, this what I do is good. It's good, it's good. But most people aren't touched by a pastor preaching a sermon. Amen? Do you understand that? Most people aren't touched by that. A lot of people aren't. But they're touched by something you might do there in the prison this morning. Amen? You were preaching and teaching a sermon. I know that. But in other areas, there's a lady. Do you want access to God through faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? All right? If I want access to people, I serve. Okay? If I want access, if I'm called to make an impact where I am, in my city, I'm called to serve. I was remembering this story. I'd forgotten all about it. We were living in Virginia, and there was this old lady across the street, and we didn't know her, but it snowed about 7 inches, which is quite a bit down there. And so Owen and I, he was just a little guy, littler than he is now, said, we're going to go shovel her snow. And we knew she was an old lady. And guess what happened after that? A door was opened to her. Why? I serve. When we left, she actually wrote us a really nice card and gave us some money for our travel expenses. And access was open because I serve. Ministry is serve. It's the same word. Ministry in Latin means, ministry actually means a lesser servant. I served. Amen? And it opened up access. If I want access to my neighborhood, if I want access to my family, if I want access to my city and to my region, I serve. Amen? I do ministry. Most people aren't going to come to a service. It's okay. But I go wherever I am and I realize, I say this all the time, don't let this be familiar to you. If I'm at work and I have people under me, I'm pastoring them. You're a pastor there. If I have people in my family, like Brad, our talk this morning, you're pastoring these people right now. They're diagnosed with cancer. You're pastoring them. You're a minister. That's what you're doing. And we serve. We come under. Amen. I don't wait for this to open up to me. If you ever find yourself in another place, the quickest way to get to us is you serve. Grace among you shall be the servant of all. Amen. Amen. And remember, big doors swing on little hinges. So never, and let me say this too. I'll get to that in just a minute. Hang on a second. I was reading a story one time. What is the greatest gift? there was this two guys, I think they drove through a desert or something, I don't know what desert it was, and they were advised not to. And they found them dead, and there was oil in them because they were, what's it called, when you get really hot, you hallucinate, and they thought the oil was water. What is the greatest gift in that moment? Is it $2 million or is it a cup of water and an IV? Amen. Give people the greatest gift, what's needed in the moment, and open up access and serve. Amen.
Amen.
The kingdom moves forward that way. I gave something with you with Gideon this morning, Linda. But one thing it says about Gideon, I forget how many men they started with, but how many men did he end up with? 300 men, remember? He had a whole group, and the Lord said, "You have too many." We used to sing a song in church years ago. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it, no. But God said, "You have too many men, let however many go." And so he had 300 men. And it says, remember, the ones they went down to the river, those who went like this, he said, "Get rid of them." Those who lapped, they kept. I don't know if this is true, but it's my fault. The ones who lapped the water of the river can still see. They're cognizant of their corporate body around them. Those who were just there were more worried about themselves. But one thing it says, that every man stood in his place. Had he defeat, when every man stands in his place, 300 men can put a whooping on thousands. Because everyone knows where they are. They know where they're called. They know what my place is. Sometimes the problem we have is I want someone else's place. What is your place? So I've done this individually, and I want to do this here for this body. What is your place in this body? Because, like I said, John Wimber said this, and I like it. God must love small churches because he has a lot of them. So this is a small church. Yeah, I believe if everyone knows their place and stands in their place, you can impact thousands. Amen? Just like they did there. I've said this, I'm going to move on to something. When I'm going to talk about stewardship of the gifting that God's given us. If you have any, Mike Bickle said this, and it's always stuck with me. He says, most ministries in a local church aren't on an organizational chart. Okay? In other words, so I'm the pastor, okay? So Jim leads the men. Different things. But there's a lot of out-of-the-box ministry ideas that, I don't mind saying it, Kevin had a beautiful idea about the homeless center in New London. If you have an idea, let me say this, about any out-of-the-box thing, find out what your place is, and if it's a corporate thing where we know where we're called, a few people can impact thousands. Amen? I believe that. I want to challenge you with that, and that ministry is not just me saying, I want you to share the pulpit this morning, or I want you to lead this, or I want you to lead that. Let me remind you again, I envy some of the ministry opportunities that some of you have. Amen. I used to want to be a teacher in high school for this very reason, because I knew I would have young kids come in all the time that I could minister to and touch, and God flipped that over on me. But there's tremendous opportunities we have for ministry everywhere we go. Everyone who comes into your hotel, it's a chance for ministry where you work. Amen. It's just a beautiful thing. Let me go over. I'm gonna finish in just a minute. I'm almost done. Let me say this. Genesis 1:28, the dominion mandate, and we'll talk about Genesis 2, says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every little thing that moves or creeps on the earth. What am I called to? So God says, be fruitful. One thing I wish churches would do, and I would do it here if I had the resources, is you give life skills. Dave Ramsey class was that, basically. Okay? Because the kingdom of God, the gospel has to work. I can't orient everything towards a church service. It has to work in my finances. It has to work in my job. It has to work in my family. There has to be a consistency. And so the Lord says, whatever I've called you to, let's say it's giving. I was talking to Jim about this morning. He says, wherever you find yourself, be fruitful. You be productive in that area. We used to have a guy, he used to give to the Bible school we went to, and he would write checks for 50 grand at a time. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and I wish he hadn't, because I would say, put me on your list. But he was an intercessor. In his ministry, he said, I pray And then I asked, Lord, who am I supposed to give this gigantic amount? So, can you imagine get writing a check to someone for 50 grand? I can't right now. He would do that. So wherever I find, so let's say that's a gifting in your life, you'd be fruitful in it. It also says multiply. You learn how to increase your productivity. Amen? So if I'm being productive in an area, if there's an area in my life, let's say, so it's giving for you, let's say something else, how can I multiply that? How can I multiply it in another person? So if God's called me to be an outrageous giver, how do I multiply that in Sandra? Amen? So I'm being fruitful in my life, but I want to multiply that right here. Okay? It also says, subdue your enemies. Remember we talked about that? Paul said, I will not be mastered by anything. No one controls my emotions. For me, I'm led by the Spirit of God. So anything that would seek to come against what God has called me to, I'm an outrageous giver. God's called me to be a giver. I'm not going to allow fear to come in. I'm not going to allow greediness to come in. I'm not going to be a covetous person. I'm going to warfare war view we were talking about this morning. No, I'm a son of God. I know my place. That has no place in me. And then you have dominion over that area. So God's called us to have dominion, but I have to be fruitful, I have to multiply, and I have to subdue everything that comes against me. That's why it's possible in your life to be breaking through in your finances, but maybe not in your marriage. Or I'm breaking through in you know, kingdom areas of faith, but I'm lagging in righteousness areas. Amen? Because God's called us to be fruitful, to multiply, and have dominion over those things in our life. But in Genesis chapter 2, let me read this in verse 4. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth because there was no man to till the ground. Okay? Why did God not cause it to rain? Because there was no man to manage and steward the ground. God's not going to just rain on your potential. He's going to wait to see, how am I faithful in the little things? How am I faithful when someone asks me to take cheese to the guy over there? How am I going to be faithful in Luke 16? How can I be faithful in what is another man's? Amen? So when I go somewhere, well, I won't use that example. I'll use an example that doesn't apply to anyone in here. Okay? If I can't be faithful to... We don't have greeters, so just pretend we do. If I can't be faithful to be faithful and stand and be a greeter for 3 weeks in a row, I can't say I'm going to have a ministry that's going to reach the world. You're not going to get past the parking lot because you weren't faithful to steward what God gave you. No matter how big, no matter how small, God doesn't just rain on your potential. I love basketball. We had a guy when I was a senior or a junior. And the guy had just absolutely phenomenal potential. He could have played Division I. Just amazing ball player. But he never made it because he never stewarded. He couldn't even play his senior year because he got in so much trouble. He never stewarded it, the giftings and the talents that God gave him. Okay, if I have a home, if I'm renting, we're renting a home, I can't be praying for the Lord to let me buy a house if I'm not faithful to pay the rent and honor the homeowners who own the house. Amen? I have to steward what God's put in front of me and manage it with care. Amen? Or else the Lord's never going to rain all of His abundant blessings and mercy. This is a good principle. It's very, very true. I've done this in my own life, but all of us have regrets. I remember one time in my church, when I was growing up, I was having an attitude, and I remember they asked me to do something, and I didn't want to do it, and part of me thought it was beneath me. I wish I could go back, and I told them no, and it's one thing I wish I could go back and say, I got to fix that, amen. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before, and then I've had moments where I've also said, you know what, I don't care what it is, I'm going to steward. So God says, okay, Clay, I used to run the soundboard in my church. I owned that thing. If no one came and I was sick, I went because it was mine. It's a principle. What did God begin to do? Then He began to give me more and
do this. Now you're in children's ministry. Now do this. If I'd blown that off, the same applies for work. Amen? If I'm not stewarding the work that my supervisor gives me, if I'm not managing it, if I'm not owning it, I'm not going to be entrusted to lead that company one day. Right? I'd love to see more believers run companies. Wouldn't that be amazing? Start implementing godly principles in our companies or in our politics. But if I can't be faithful to get the report back to my boss when they ask for it, if it's a task beneath me and I'm not stewarding it, the Lord's not going to entrust me to be the supervisor one day. It's making sense. This is practical meat and potatoes. I don't entirely know why I'm sharing it, but let me end with Peter. Why was Peter? Remember back to Peter's ministry. What is ministry? Peter had said yes to God. He'd been a man who was up and down and up and down. I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to deny him, I'm going to die for him. Up and down, up and down. But there was something in Peter that his heart said yes to God no matter what his outward things were saying. There was something within him that said, Lord, I'm going to go all the way with you. I've got this thing in me, and I'm going to continue to pursue you. I believe that the Lord used Peter to open the door to the Gentiles for Paul. Paul had a great ministry among the Gentiles. He used Peter because he'd been proven over and over. Steward this. He gave him start of the church. All those folks got saved, right? We talked about that. I'm giving that to Peter because I know if I give it to him, I can rain on the seeds that I've put in the ground in him. So I would say, what seeds are put within you that the Lord has? Maybe it's an idea for out of here. Maybe it's an idea because I do believe the kingdom is his purpose and the local church is his instrument. Maybe it's an idea he's given you for this house. Maybe it's something for your family. But if there's a seed within you, that principle of stewardship, we think, whatever it is, I'm going to steward what God's given me. Whether it's one guy over here or whether it's 20,000 guys over here, I'm going to be faithful and steward. And I say, Lord, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to own this. And Lord, I want you to so pour your rain, the Spirit of God, down upon what you put within me so a plant can bloom that impacts the world. Amen?
Amen.
Even if there's something in you that wrestles and says no to God, be like Peter. Little doors swing, or big doors swing on little hinges. You remember that. That's maybe the best thing I've said for some of you. Big doors, little hinges. A piece of cheese. And Peter's and David's life can lead you to Goliath. Being faithful in the little things continuously. And Peter knew how to repent, didn't he? So we all make mistakes, right? David knew how to repent. The difference between David and Saul? David knew how to repent. So I screw up. I'm going to repent because my heart is steadfast towards you. What do you have for me? I'm going to do it with all of my heart and do it unto the Lord, not unto man. Amen?
Amen.
That's my heart this morning. Peter, his ministry, service, diakonos, ministry, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You guys have platforms that I mean this with all my heart, I wish I had. You guys have platforms and you're a minister. I go to work tomorrow, I'm a minister. And my family, when they come to me, I'm their pastor. It's just in your heart. I said, you're their pastor, man. That's why they're looking to you right now. And that's why they're asking you to pray for them. Because you're their pastor. And you don't have to be up here because they might never come to a church service. Amen? They may never come to church. They may never be impacted by a service. They may come here and never be impacted by a word I say. I might put them to sleep. But you, man, minister and pastor, amen? Amen? It's the heart of God for us. Ministers, servants. Don't be so enamored by the spectacular. Spectacular is good. But sometimes shoveling snow for someone can open up a door to their heart that leads to something. Maybe them bring their hearts to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, I know this was a word from your heart. I feel it. And so, Lord, I thank you that all of us are ministers. Lord, shift our understanding if it's not already shifted. And Lord, I ask that you do that in the church at large. Lord, that you do it in pastors and you do it in ministers, Lord, that I don't have to get paid to be a minister. But Lord, you've called us to see and to look, Lord, for the ministry. The fields are white for harvest. Lord, we do believe, Lord, as Mary shared this morning, as I said, Lord, our hearts are poised, God. Our hearts are seeking for, Lord, a move of your Spirit in this country, Lord, a move in the marketplace, Lord, a move in our churches, Lord, a move in our political systems, Lord, a move of God in the families, Lord, that family structures would represent the kingdom of God, Lord, that our companies would honor God, that we would do things with integrity and uprightness, Lord, that you raise up, Lord, those of us maybe who are on the bottom totem pole in our country, or not in our country, in our company, Lord, but that you give us a spirit of excellence, Lord, just like you gave to Daniel, a spirit of excellence, Lord. We own stuff, and then we begin to own the company, Lord, and we take it, and we model and value your principles, Lord, in this earth, God. Lord, that our churches will be vibrant expressions of your life in our communities. Lord, that our churches truly would be a city set on a hill. Lord, that we would have influence and impact on everyone around us. And it starts with ministry decisions. So we thank you for that, Jesus. Jesus, we love you this morning. I thank you for the ministry graces, the ministry callings, Lord, that you put upon each and every one of us, Lord. And we bless you and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you guys.